Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to another show of Open Government Radio for March 23rd, 2010. My name is Steve Buckley. I'm your host. And today we'll be talking about citizen collaboration, particularly the online variety, and how's that working? The best way for listeners to follow along with the conversation and to see what we're talking about would be to go to my blog at ustransparency.com. And if you're listening to this later, that would be for the posting of March 23rd. But if you're listening to it live, just go to ustransparency.com. And you'll be able to see the phone number to call in and the question for today, the topic of discussion. It's particularly timely because this past Friday, March 19th, was the closing date for citizens to offer their ideas for open government at 27, I believe, federal agencies. At 27 different places on the web, and most agencies used the same tool, but there were a few that used another online tool for getting input on how to make their agency more transparent, participatory, and collaborative. And this is kind of a second attempt or effort following last summer's open government dialogue, which the White House put on last summer, May and June, basically getting the same types of idea, only now the most recent effort was directed at 27 different agencies. So anyway, we have with us today Dan Munns, who is on the citizen engagement team at the General Services Administration. And the GSA has been behind a lot of the effort, I would say, of getting all the other agencies up and running on how to use a web-based citizen engagement tool to get ideas from the public on, like I said, how to have a more open government. And even though it's only been a few days, this latest effort has been, I guess, 5 or 6 weeks. So unless something happened in the last few days, I'm assuming that people who have been running these public engagement sites have a pretty good idea of what they've got, and now it's, of course, time to sort through those with the idea that each agency will have to now come up in a couple of weeks, I guess it's April 7th, with an open government plan, which is a very tight time frame for federal agencies to move. So next few weeks should be very interesting, and, of course, when the open government plans come out, it should get more and more interesting. So anyway, I will turn to Dan. Are you there, Dan?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Okay. No. Glad you could come on. And I was just, I did put a little intro there about how you came over recently, fairly recently, from the National Academy of Public Administration. But if you want to give us a little background on more on your experience there and where you are now, and if that's different or the same or what. So go ahead and tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. You're right to say that I've spent a lot of time over the past few years at the National Academy of Public Administration. My personal background is actually in using the internet to do advocacy for electoral campaigns and for nonprofits. And so I sort of describe my skill set as using the internet to get people to get together and do useful stuff. About 3.5 years ago, I joined the National Academy, which, for folks who don't know, is a congressionally chartered nonprofit that works on complex issues of government management. And a lot of those are sort of the traditional things that you think of when I say government management. That's things like financial management, acquisition, procurement, human capital, program evaluation, things like that. And part of the National Academy's charter sort of empowers it and obliges it to raise management issues that it feels are cross-cutting and are of import across government. And at around the end of 2007, which is, you know, years ago in sort of open gov time, the National Academy, I was really fortunate to be part of a team at the National Academy that identified this idea of not just open government and what we call sort of Gov 2.0, but also these issues of our innovative capacity and our collaborative capacity generally as management issues that were in need of, you know, real and serious attention from the management perspective as opposed to sort of just the technology perspective or just the advocacy perspective. So I spent some time there helping with a great team to build what was called the Collaboration Project, which was sort of an interagency consortium of people who were very engaged on the issue and helped run a number of large-scale engagements with the citizens between agencies to work on that. From there...
And I should point out to people that I did put a link to the Collaboration Project on the blog. If they're following along on the blog page, there's a link right under your little under your name in that same paragraph. And also, if they can't quite put their finger on that, it's link number 4 in the list of links there. So just wanted to make sure. And number 5, as long as I'm yakking away, is an example. I believe the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review is an example of I guess you could call it citizen engagement tool,
mm-hmm.
NAPA style, NAPA style that you'd worked on there. But that's why that people looking at that QHSR, what the heck is that? That's just an example of how NAPA did that. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. And those are great examples to look at to get a feel for the kind of work we did there. So from NAPA, as you said, I joined. I'm working at the General Services Administration now on a team that I'm really excited about that is kind of just getting started up, and we will be focusing on issues of new media and citizen engagement. And the General Services Administration, for folks who don't know, has a really interesting mission and a really interesting history in that our customers tend to be the other agencies in government. GSA includes Public Building Service and Federal Acquisition Service. And so what we really do is provide or try to provide efficient and effective infrastructure and services to other agencies to help them operate with maximum efficiency. Where that mission reflects into the open gov space is that, as you know, one of the major challenges that agencies have been dealing with is building an infrastructure and building capacity and building knowledge and resources for doing the kind of engagement that the open government directs them to do and that a lot of people in government are really eager to do. There's a lot of excitement about this. Our mission is to make sure that that excitement and that passion is met by the provision of tools and techniques and resources that can really enable it. So very broadly, that's our mission, and it really has three parts. It's making it easier for government to engage with citizens. It's making it easier and more desirable for citizens to engage with government. And it's helping to ensure that all of that is done with efficiency and effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Which will include some continuous improvement that, just start off, with a great thing. Thing is, any application, if you want to look at it that way, is always going to go through different versions where it gets better and better and it gets tweaked and so forth. So certainly the work... I'm sure that if you were starting out with the National Academy working on stuff in 2007, you said it seems like a long time ago, and it's only 3 years. But I'm guessing that the first iteration that you all worked on is just changing by leaps and bounds, month by month. Never mind.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we're really focused on here at GSA is the idea that. What we can do is really make sure that agencies sort of never make the same mistake twice. What we really want to do is make sure that agencies have the tools that they need to do new things, to do things that are experimental, and to learn from them and capture those learnings so that everyone is able to get smarter from the progress that any individual agency makes. So that's really a role that we want to play in terms of coordinating best practices, coordinating lessons learned. And we see that as, you know, as there's a straight line from that to the GSA mission of efficiency and effectiveness. We really want to make sure that folks at other agencies that we serve are able to undertake engagement in a way that focuses on drawing on the best tools available, drawing on the best capacity available, and really thinking about the quality of the engagement that they want, rather than spending a lot of time worrying about how to get the tool or how to write the paperwork or how to solve problems that frankly have been solved already elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and certainly this is something I've pointed out before, is that the president's initial memorandum on transparency and open government mentions three times the idea that this is all about feedback and improvement. I mean, not just the program itself, the idea that citizens can provide input and feedback to the government to make it, you know, work better, and
mm-hmm.
waste less time and so forth. But even in doing so, as moving forward to find out how to set up those systems, that the president said in his memo that the agency should ask if their system for doing that needs to be improved. So it's continuous improvement on the continuous feedback type.
So it's
all in the spirit. All this about getting better and so forth is all in the spirit of not to make somebody look bad or to say, you know, that, well, that sucked or something like that. It's just to, it's so that it can be made better the next time and get better and better. So
that's absolutely right. And I mean, you know, obviously along with the technology shift that we talk about when we think of sort of Gov 2.0, there's been a really important cultural shift, and there's an ongoing cultural shift in government. And I think that one of the biggest parts of that is needing to increase the willingness to be experimental and to try things out. You know, I think traditionally we've lived in an environment that, you know, for very good reason is very structured. I was talking to a colleague in government who was sort of new to federal government and was surprised to learn about the fact that, you know, budgeting happens in these sort of two-year cycles and you have to anticipate your needs that far in advance. And so we're very used to kind of planning things out very far in advance and executing those in a way that is, you know, that's rigidly budgeted. And for a lot of what government does, there's a very good reason for that. But in the realm of open government, in the realm of engagement, you know, citizens are unpredictable, and their unpredictability is exactly what makes them so valuable to government. But, you know, handling that engagement properly means that government has to be a little more agile and be able to be a little more experimental than it has been before. And there's a huge feeling across government that that's the direction we want to move in. And I think there's increasingly an emphasis, and you see this on the guidance that the White House is sort of putting out, there's an increasing emphasis on making sure that the structure of government and the guidance of government matches that spirit and that desire that's there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think having worked in Washington for 25 years myself at five different federal agencies, I certainly know that culture well. And so the dilemma is, how do you move from a culture of trepidation to one of experimentation? And you can't just do it by putting on a rosy sounding memo or this or that. People are not going to lose their fear of, you know, you just can't change a culture like that overnight. But anyway, now holding that thought with the idea that this is all about making for better things, the other guest we're having on today is Stephen Koneshka, who wrote a paper. It was, and I should point out that I made a note here, I updated the web page. He did write it before the Open Government Directive came out, and it was published in the, but that means it was, even though it was published in the most recent issue of the International Journal for Public Participation, it had to do with last summer's, it's a critique, I guess you could say, but I'll let Stephen go into that, of last summer's open government dialogue, which, as I said before, was basically the White House's attempt an experiment, I would think. I always thought of it as an experiment to see how it would work to get people's ideas about how to make the federal government, or at least the executive branch at large, how it could be more open and so forth. So it wasn't directed at any particular agency, although I guess people could say, could put in any idea that they wanted to. But let me see if I can pick up and see if Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fine.
You got me?
Yeah, if you could speak up a little bit. I can hear you, but compared to Dan's connection, I think you might need to get a little closer to the phone or something like that. But go ahead and give us a little. I did put something on the web, on the blog about. I even put the abstract in, which might be a little boring. But if you could make us give us an abstract of the abstract, as far as fact, boil it down even more if you could. Basically, characterize it in your own way. And of course, this is all in the spirit of constructive criticism.
Of course.
I would hope. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the paper, like you said in the introduction, was looking at the open government dialogue that the Obama administration initiated last summer. And I looked at the overall process through the lens, if you will, of the International Association of Public Participation's core values, which are basically seven guidelines for best practices, general scope of issues such as how to facilitate involvement in participatory projects, providing information, etc. And so what I did, I looked at the design in one section and the structure in another, process in another section of the paper regarding the OGD, or Open Government Dialogue. And the structure basically refers to the websites and the overall process, and the terminology gets kind of sloppy. And then the process section looked at how the administration facilitated involvement and provided information to the public to actually participate. And in general, the conclusions are, fall on both sides of the good and bad spectrum. In general, the administration was proactive in engaging in this process, which is admirable. But then the structure or the design of the websites, there was lots of critique about their usability and their functionality. Should people be voting during a brainstorming process with the idea of generating proposals instead of evaluating them. And then on the process side, there was some attempts made during one of the phases to engage participants, have some sort of conversation. But in general, it looked more like a space where people could comment, and not get a whole lot of feedback. There wasn't this constructive process involved. It was more just putting the information out there for the administration to take and then go do what they wanted to do, which there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just an issue that arose. So summarizing kind of the overall issues, the administration, its actions in doing the open government dialogue were admirable and suggests a real strong commitment to public participation. But then once you get into the details of how it actually unfolded, there was a demonstrable evidence of not having a clear idea of what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. So I made a couple suggestions, and basically that they need, in future projects, that they should articulate what they want to accomplish up front. The Open Government Dialogue put this general idea of helping to shape policy when on really big themes, transparency, participation, collaboration, and they kind of left things all over the place. So people had difficulty figuring out what to say, how to say it, what to do, when, what not to talk about, and that flowed into some of the analysis that NAPA, National Association of excuse me, National Academy of Public Administration put out. And then a second suggestion was that the administration needs to be more engaged with public participation experts, if you will, people who've been involved with it. There wasn't a whole lot of evidence that they went out and solicited ideas, you know, what are the best web platforms? Is the web even the best place to do this? How should it proceed? How do these feedback mechanisms work, et cetera? What's the impact of a policy that has been presented as being the creation of public participation that in the end doesn't look like the public had a whole lot of impact? And then lastly, as far as technical procedural issues, there is a lot of difficulty in gathering the data from the three platforms that were used for the Open Government Dialogue. So people could participate, but then that information, it was really difficult for people to build on that, on the participatory comments and so forth in between, across stages. So brainstorming ideas, you know, there's something like 1,200 of them. So how do you condense that, and how do you manage that sort of information so that people can actually use what's being done throughout, build on it instead of reproducing the wheel every time, which it, in a lot of senses, all three phases looked like they were doing. So hopefully that was a short enough summary. But,
okay. Well, I do want to point out to people that on that list of links on the blog posting at U.S. Transparency, number 8 is a link to the what you call the core values for the practice of public participation. That is something that was created from the International Association for Public Participation. So they're not that's probably, I would think, the premier or the largest international group in the world as far as how you do public participation. And I would think these things would apply online or face to face. But it's funny because they're referred to as core values, but it's really their practices. It's when if you click on that link, you'll see that it says, does this, does that, does this, does that. And, for instance, the one thing that I think was missing, your paper, I guess, is a few pages long, so I might have missed it, but the idea is that is feedback. And I see that in the EPA public involvement steps. They call it something mm-hmm. else, but it's basically the idea if you're going to ask people for their ideas, and then you need, at some point afterwards, you need to explain to them what you used and what you didn't use and why you didn't use it and so forth and so on. Because if you keep going back to them and trying to engage them, at some point, if you're not going to give them any feedback about whether it's having any effect, then they're going to go, no thanks. I'm not going to spend time if you're not going to tell me if I'm having any effect or not. And I think that goes whether you're talking about a personal relationship or any kind of relationship. People just say, hey, you know, I don't see how I'm making any difference here. So, and that did not happen after the thing. And to be fair to them, I know they had a lot of listening sessions. So, you had said, you know, evidence about that. But there are, if anything, I think they might have been overwhelmed from everybody telling them what to do. But at the same time, my personal opinion is that maybe they didn't see the forest for the trees, and the trees being, hey, if you're going to do this as an experiment, then you need to tell people that it is an experiment and that it's not, you know, don't just wait. Let's see how it works, and then we'll sort through it later after we go through it and figure out what we learned. And then, of course, you know, if you're going to ask people for their ideas and take the time to put all this effort into it, then you can't just, you know, just go away and then, you know, 5 months later the Open Government Directive came out and I had a hard time finding out, you know, other than data, which was not a surprise, that you know, release the data type of thing. A lot of other ideas, I said, well, geez, I don't, what happened to all those other ideas that got a lot of votes? And maybe Dan can talk to this too, the idea that I saw it seemed to be that with this most current attempt to engage people with the open government, the 27 different agencies, that it seemed to be a drop off in enthusiasm. Is that a Dan? Would you say that's a fairly accurate description of? The same or more or whatever.
The first thing I'd say is that, having seen this process from the inside, there's really no accurate characterization that you can apply to all 27 agencies. Every agency is different. And I think there's no question that there were differences across the agencies in terms of, their capacity to engage, how ready they felt, how comfortable they were with the tool. And that's to be expected. I think from the outside, it makes sense that people see the government as kind of a single monolithic government. But we know from having been inside government that there are, really stark differences between different agencies, and that, that's reflected. One thing I will say is that what we've seen and what we've been really happy to see is a tremendous amount of innovation going on at agencies. From the perspective of their saying, okay, now we've done this exercise where we have taken a really massive amount of public comment, let's figure out what it is we do when we get this kind of engagement, because it's a sure thing we'll have to do it again. And I think that there are, obviously this is an engagement that was sort of mandated by the Open Government Directive, and I think there's good and bad to doing it that way. I think that one of the risks you have is that folks get in a mode where they say, I have to engage, but I'm not sure about what. And so there's a little bit of uncertainty about, what are we asking, what can we action. But from the perspective of government management, and I think, the folks who wrote the OGD are absolutely right to approach this from that management perspective. I think this has been a huge step forward in terms of prompting agencies to build capacity, to give some thought, and to really invent process for engagement, which is something that has been lacking. The president himself has famously said that we can't solve the problems of the 21st century with a 20th century structure in government. And I think, maybe nowhere is that more true than in the structure that agencies have and the capacity that they have for public engagement. So these dialogues, I think, have been a powerful forcing function to build that. I think you've seen, we've seen at least as kind of being privy to a lot of this process, some real creativity and some real eagerness. And I wouldn't say at all a dampening of enthusiasm, some real eagerness, at least on the part of agencies, to really put some thought into saying, how can we make the most of this? How can we use this engagement sort of as an excuse or sort of as an opportunity to improve the way we do business internally and build an organization that's better and more responsive than it was before. So that to me is one of the most important headlines to come out of this engagement, which, as you mentioned, is only the end of it's only a few days old. So that's sort of just an immediate read.
Well, I wonder if there's a way, and I'm going to take a point, stop here for a second. This is Steve Buckley on Open Government Radio. I'm the host, and today our special guests are Dan Munns from the General Services Administration Citizen Engagement Team and Steve Kaneshka from the University of Colorado School of Communication, whose recent paper in the International Journal for Public Participation talking today about citizen collaboration, and the links we'll be talking about are at the blog at www.ustransparency.com for the date of March 23rd, 2010. And I wonder if there is a way. I know in Steve's paper, He does show, the number of people and the number of ideas and so forth and so on. And I realized recently with the 27 different agencies, of course, they're all split up. But if there's a way to gauge whether or not, the enthusiasm is still there, whether there's a way to gauge the number of users or total ideas, total comments, and compare it to, say, last summer's open government dialogue, and then be able to say, oh, okay, well, looks like the same number of people or the same number of ideas, so it's just spread out over 27 or, you know, like that. Or maybe if you look at the same number of users and the same number of ideas and you say, 50% of what happened last summer, you know, something to think about.
Is yeah, I mean...
To get a handle on that or plans to go back and see...
Sure, and I'm actually glad you asked because you gave me a chance to plug what I've sort of humorously referred to as the greatest website on the internet. Although I actually do think it's pretty great, and it's webcontent.gov. And what we've been doing, what GSA's been doing on webcontent.gov throughout this entire process, is trying to post as transparently as we can, both to agencies and to the public, some of the background material and some of the fundaments that have powered this engagement. So, you know, for legal and policy nerds like me out there, you'll see things like our privacy impact assessment and our Paperwork Reduction Act clearance. But another thing that's posted on the site is a list of Excel files, so it's sort of a machine-readable format of data dumps of each agency's open government dialogue. So anyone can, even though the engagement is now over, transparently see the dialogue, not only in its original form, but in a form where they can really pull out that data, crunch some numbers, do stuff to it, and arrive at, you know, maybe even more sophisticated conclusions than you could have just looking at the dialogue site itself. So it was very important to us that this be done transparently and that we provide the tools and the infrastructure to do that. And again, you can find that at webcontent.gov.
For people who are looking at the web page, it's actually they don't have. It's right under your name. After the link to the citizen engagement team, there's a highlighted citizen services and training, and that goes to that link is there.
Great.
As well. So
great.
People can go there, and it's just yes, I've seen it, and it's just all kinds of neat things for people who are really really into this, like Steve Kaneshka. And I was wondering, Steve, since you did, you know, looking over your, I'm looking at a chart in your paper. I guess this is on page 45 in the journal, not page 45 of your paper, but on page 45 of the journal, it just lists. Apparently, you've been doing a lot of data collection when you were sifting through the results from last summer's open government dialogue. So, are you going to be doing another paper with all the neat data that Dan just talked about, or thinking about it, or?
You know, I was getting ready for this morning, and I came across the webcontent.gov site. So I haven't had any time to poke around it. But one of the major conclusions in the paper itself was this access to data, and I mentioned this at the end of the rather long summary I gave, that people need a mechanism to access this data that's not on, this website that shows you 10 comments, and then you have to go to another page, and there's 200 pages that you have to get through, and you can't remember what the first comment was by the time you get done with it. So that I can't actually find the spreadsheets at the moment, so I can't give a comment on that. But that's as far as experimenting goes, is a huge and necessary, and maybe one of the most important steps to be taken. It came up all across the open government dialogue. People were wanting to, they use different terms, but they were wanting to do analysis of the comments, and it was just nearly impossible without investing significant amount of time to actually do that. So that's a good first step in terms of improving. As far as my own work, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do with the agency sites. I was poking through them this morning, though, and in the aggregate, I can't say, but each individual site, the comments were not, the numbers were not robust. I looked at state, EPA, and EPA has a lot of participatory action going on already, so I expected them to have a lot of contributions, and they were about the same as the Defense Department, which is not exactly the most open of federal agencies. So, there's maybe less than 100 that I just flashing on each site where the comments.
Well, it's initial impressions, of course, and it's just been a few days and so forth. But like Dan said, hopefully the data will be there to be able to figure out whether, you know, whether the enthusiasm is dissipating or maintaining or improving or whatever. And of course there's no one indicator that will be able to do that, and it's just like it's a number of things. You have to interpret various indicators to figure out, this went up, this went down. So
Steve, if I could just jump in real quick, I want to just really quickly push back on the idea that the participation hasn't been robust, and just give you a few numbers. We've been doing kind of a quick internal dashboard to track across all these sites, and we've seen over 2,000 ideas submitted, about 31,000 votes submitted on top of those. So there's a really potentially effective sorting going on. 4,100 comments, and all of that done by about 8,300 users. And so I don't really want to dissent at all from the issues that Stephen puts on the table. I think they're really important, and I want to say that I was really impressed by the paper that he put together and the way that he really kind of took a scalpel to some of the most important issues surrounding citizen engagement. But I do want to make sure that, even though it is sort of right after the fact, we talk about this on in sort of an informed basis. And like I said, obviously participation varied across the different sites and the different agencies, but just volume-wise, and I don't think volume is the only important metric at all, but just volume-wise, I think it'd be hard to say that we weren't really happy with just the level of participation that this initiative saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, as we sort through it, because we could go into it, because, now that I posted personally at 27 different agencies, the same idea, so that's just something to keep in mind. But like I said, we won't get, I don't want to get too involved. Well, it could be this, it could be that, but as the numbers come in and so forth, if there's, it would be interesting, Dan, to know if there was a place, a particular place to, talk about, to kick around the numbers online, whether it's on GovLoop or some other, or even at the next Open Government workshop that mm-hmm. I'm one of the co-organizers on, or something like that. But there's something like that. That'd be great to be able to sort through it and look at the different interpretations of what does it all mean.
Well, one site that I'm glad you've given me another opportunity to plug is a site called opengovtracker.com. Which is a site that, and I want to really quickly just tell the story behind this because I think it's a good one. OpenGovTracker.com is a site that basically uses the IdeaScale API. This IdeaScale platform is an open API, and it uses that API to pull all of the statistics across the different agencies into a central dashboard where you see the total number of ideas, votes, and comments across. You see them by agency. You see top ideas. And so it's really an incredible portal for a citizen who doesn't really know where to get started with all this open government stuff to start getting engaged. Now, the reason I want to tell this story is that this portal was built not by GSA or by IdeaScale, but actually by some really enterprising coders at NASA, one of whom has since moved on to the Sunlight Foundation. But, it's a great example of the model that we've tried to execute, which is to say we take care one time of the platform and the tool and the capacity to engage, and that really does free up others in government to focus less on, oh my God, I have to start a website, and to focus more on innovating and doing cool stuff that adds value on top of what we already provide. And so I wanted to tell that story just because, I'm really proud of the team effort that it took. But also because I think it's a really good model for addressing one of the main concerns that Stephen's paper raises, which is sort of government's attention span in terms of how engaged it is with the engagement efforts that it puts out there. One thing that we're really laser focused on here is trying to move out of the way a lot of the complex technical and legal and policy issues so that agencies can be more focused and can have kind of a longer attention span when it comes to the engagements that they put out to the public.
Mm-hmm. And, we did, as a matter of fact, I was just looking back, we did talk about Open Government Tracker a few weeks ago with Tim Bonneman.
Sure.
Who if either of you are pr- I know that Steve is familiar with Tim. I don't know, but there is a link I put to on number 10. Link number 10 on the blog post there is Tim Bonneman's catalog of online participation tools. But Tim is very, like me, is very big on the measurement aspect of, you know, are we doing as great a job as we think we are? And anybody who's, I mean, that's why they came up with the word subjectivity, because we, as subjective animals, we always think we're doing a pretty good job of whatever we're doing, and it's not until we actually say, sit up, go on the weight scale and see if our diet is actually working or not, that we can have an objective way to figure out, oh, I thought I lost more weight than that. And so that's the thing. And it can be quite, you know, like I said, knowing how Washington tends to put out press releases that are a little bit on the rosy side, the harsh light of day, the idea that, well, does the data, do our standards back up? Are we doing as good a job as we think we are? And at this point, I think I'm going to ask, I have somebody who's caller, whoop, went away. Oh, too bad. They got tired of waiting for me to call in, but we did have somebody there. And I would say anybody who does want to call in, please feel free. The number to call in is 917-388-4210. And that number again for Open Government Radio is 917-388-4210. But so that was the Open Government Tracker is a great tool, and that's exactly the type of thing that people can, the different agencies can see how they're doing compared to others. And of course, if there's an agency like the Department of Defense or something like the Department of Transportation, then you really can't expect to have a bar chart where their bar is much bigger than yours, but at least it gives some sense of, and most recent activity and so forth and so on, it gives a sense of what's working and what's not. I should say,
really,
at the last Open Government workshop that we held with the General Services Administration, that was there. A lot of ideas were generated at that. I think it was at March 11th or something like that. I forget when that was, a few weeks ago. That was their biggest bump for GSA. So I was glad to be able to point to that and say, look, there were some ideas that were generated, and it did seem to rub off on GSA. But okay, is there? Oh, and the other thing I wanted to point out on that list at the blog, before we lose too much time, on the U.S. transparency, there was underneath Tim Bonneman's, there's a link that I came across the other day. I know the gentleman who wrote this, his name is Brian Friel, or Friel. He has been writing for a number of years, back to the 1990s, during the Reinventing Government effort, which I was involved in. And he always seems to write very insightful things about culture. And number 11 is something he wrote for Government Executive Magazine, or govexec.com, about the fact of not responding to suggestions. It can be a real danger, as far as the fact that people just end up not going to the suggestion box, so to speak, anymore, whether it's internally or externally. And, I'm going to flip up to number 9, which is, there actually was an evaluation of last summer's Open Government Dialogue, but it wasn't done by the White House. It was unsolicited, as far as I know, and done by some groups like America Speaks and the National Coalition for Dialogue and Liberation, and presented at the White House. And there's a link there. I don't think many people know about it, but link number 9 on U.S. transparency, it shows that a link to there, and if you follow the other links, you'll see it's in a Word document, but it was presented, and there are even some meeting notes that were po- posted on the NCDD listserv. So, and the last thing I'm going to plug myself is number 12, the very last link at the bottom. And that is, in case you guys, I'm not sure if I told you guys on the phone before the show, but 13 years ago almost, I set up the very first web forum on a particular or specific federal government proposal. And that was actually the closure of Pennsylvania Avenue right by the White House. So there, in response to the Oklahoma City bomber, they wanted to close down that street there so somebody couldn't drive by the White House and, you know, blow them up that way. But they actually asked for comments and so forth and so on. And at that time I said, hey, why don't we set something up for a web forum? So, bang my own drum there. I've been a convert to the whole idea of using the web to do this type of public engagement for a while. And is there maybe go back to Steve? Is there something that having looked from any general impressions that you would, if you were in charge, is there any tips that you know, without getting too much into the details of what to do, but is there anything that you would do if you were in charge of the open government dialogue, having done all this work?
No, I don't. I'm not prone to giving diagnostic advice. You know, what should we do? I'm much more interested in what are we doing and how's it working. And with respect to that, I'm curious. So one of the things I noted in the paper is that people who participated were searching for something more than this, you know, what I described as technologically advanced notice and comment. So participation, engagement, collaboration are not just, like you were noting earlier, that people, you know, the feedback mechanism, people want to hear back about the contributions. And that goes beyond just knowing how they informed policy. It gets back to what is democracy? Is democracy just expressing yourself and letting it go? Is it getting input back from, you know, officials, et cetera? Or is there something more culturally based that needs to be reproduced? And I'm more in the latter camp, that, you know, we have lots of ways of expressing ourselves, but we don't have necessarily a real strong local democratic culture of participation, so democratic participatory culture. And so all these mechanisms that are out there now with the agencies are of the same nature as the open government dialogue. They're soliciting comments. So, and we have lots of efforts for getting data, but how do we address the other two issues in the open government directive that, you know, received scant discussed in the actual policy directive that was issued, participation and collaboration, as opposed to simply transparency and this information feedback. So how do we do that, I guess? And, you know, with somebody from the administration on the line, you know, what are the avenues being explored for increasing the social glue of democracy, if you will, through these mechanisms?
Basically, I mean, and I'd seen this before, and maybe Dan, I know, has travels a lot in the online circles, but I think at some point after the Open Government Directive came out, that people were saying, well, maybe we're concentrating a little too much on the transparency aspect, you know, release the information, and I guess maybe the sugar high or something, coming down from the sugar high of transparency. It's like it didn't exactly, since the open government directive was issued in December, it wasn't this, you know, momentum or whatever, the expected results didn't generate as much excitement, you know, like, well, you know, child safety seat data, you know, that seemed to be the highlight of one of the press releases I saw, you know, was describing the data as a treasure trove. And I'm going, well, if child safety seat data is the best thing you can point to, then maybe this isn't, you know, maybe a little underwhelmed, and maybe I think some other people who had been blogging about it were a little, well, maybe we're putting too many chips on the transparency, you know, number, and maybe we need to look back at this participation and collaboration part. Did you see anything like that, Dan?
Well, you know, the thing I'd say is that I do think that in the Open Government Directive, OMB got not only the right categories, but put them in the right order. And I think it's understandable to emphasize transparency first. You know, when I think about transparency, you know, we, I think, inside the Beltway tend to think of that as meaning data. But, you know, to the average citizen, transparency means trust. It means, do I know what's going on? And if, you know, if there isn't that trust relationship, there's frankly maybe not that much to talk about. And so I think it's right to put transparency at the forefront of that trio. But that said, I just don't think it's the case, sort of from my vantage point, that those other two have gotten short shrift in actions, even if, you know, there certainly were fewer words dedicated to them in the Open Government Directive. You know, I think that, you know, in the Open Government Directive saying agencies must engage with the public about their open government plans didn't spend a lot of words, but it led to sort of this initiative that I've been, you know, really happy to be a part of and, you know, I think has been pretty impactful and has extended across, you know, a number of agencies. And so I think there's a lot going on there. You know, I think the administration's following up with governance and direction as they recently have on the use of challenges and contests shows that they really are focused on innovating new avenues for participation and for collaboration. And I, you know, so I think I would just dissent a little bit from the conclusion that those have gotten short shrift. I think that in some cases the transparency piece of it and the data piece of it is a little sexier because, you know, you've got apps contests and you've got cool things going on. And I think those are all tremendous exercises, and those are great. But, you know, there really are things in terms of enriching kind of the structure of agencies and the function of agencies and the stuff that, you know, even though it's called participation, is maybe a little less visible to the public at this point, really is going on, and there is a lot of movement there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess as someone who was involved, I mean, I've been online for about 20 years, and it's almost like deja vu for me because back in the 1990s, there not many people were online, but we were still talking about culture change with the Reinventing Government effort from 1993 on. And so, you know, culture change and engaging the citizen and all, virtually all the same concepts, slightly different buzzwords and so forth. Transparency wasn't a big one then, but, you know, right. Open government, stuff like that. And at the time, we were thinking, oh, if only everybody could get online. That's what, you know, if only that there was this silver bullet out there and we would all get online or, you know, and so forth and so on, that technology would save us. And it's a very...
Sure.
I like technology, you know, I'm a typical guy. I like toys and so forth. Yes, I need that.
Well,
I need that. And I bring it home and I'm like, you know, and then I have a workshop full of toys that that I use every once in a while. But in the same sense, and so I can understand it'd be very, for the relatively recent arrivals to say, if only we had more bandwidth. And to me, it's like, no, there's a large part of it that has to do with engaging with people, you know, socially.
Sure.
With a relationship. And if somebody's a jerk at a face-to-face meeting, then they're going to be a jerk on an online meeting, too.
Well, I think that's absolutely right.
We have the rules of engagement. That's the type, not the TV show.
But sure, sure.
The rules of engagement are laid out, and everybody knows what the rules are. To me, that's a large part of it, as opposed to, let's just have a room and open it up and crowdsource, see what happens, which can be somewhat chaotic. So, anyway, but that's my, the geezer view about that. So when I see people go, oh, yeah, data, that's all we need, just got the data, and we'll mash it and come up with neat apps. And yeah, well, you know, that might be great to point out potholes getting fixed, but what about talking with people and coming to some kind of, you know, having a civil discussion online, which, you know, so that's, I think we need to, that needs to be a little bit more. Now that we've released the data, so to speak, and now it's kind of like, well, maybe we need to pump up the other aspects, not taking away from the value of data, just the idea that the talking part needs to get a little more attention. So, but I'm sorry, Steve, were you going to say something there?
Well, a couple things. But I think that what you're saying kind of points to what somebody who I quoted in the paper noting that an overarching issue with the open government dialogue, and I think if you look across the agencies as well, that it's really top-heavy. So there's been very little participation in defining what are the problems we're discussing, even, which is where this information exchange becomes rather not even secondary. It's way down the line because people have ideas already. And how do we the next project I want to work on with open government dialogue data is finding out what people's concerns were, what they consider is transparency, is participation, is collaboration. And those seem like primary questions that need to be addressed before we can even begin to discuss, well, what data is necessary to release? You know, is it a big deal to release child safety seat data? You know, I don't have a child, so for me, no. But there's these big, broad questions concerning how we do governance that are being sidestepped and saying, well, here's the problems, we need to fix this, instead of opening up the discussion. Well, what are the problems and how do we address them? How do we come up with creative interpretations of the issues we're facing as well as new and innovative solutions to them, which may or may not require new data? So I think the participation and collaboration are the critical components to actually even making sense of the data.
Okay. So well, we're getting close to the 2-minute mark here, so I think we need to wrap up. I guess we could take that as a wrap up from you, Dan. I guess I'm interested to know. I'll let you speak for a little while here, but I wanted to know: do you get the sense that are there any general plans for a sit down, or is this maybe something that the next Open Government Workshop, which I know we're trying to set up the format for that now, probably tentatively scheduled for April 28th. But the whole idea, I'm guessing that how the results of this recent process might be something worth talking about at that workshop. But I don't know, is there something else that other forum that this conversation could continue?
Well, I mean, I think that if you sort of look around, at least here in D.C., I'll say there's really no shortage of forums. You know, one of the things that's been really nice to see is the ubiquity of discussion channels and conferences that people are devoting to this and building connections. So that's great. I think we'll be drawing lessons from this particular engagement for a really long time, and there'll be some valuable lessons there. And I really do resonate very strongly with the idea that what's fundamental to this, you know, is partially technology, it's partially process, it's partially management, but it also is fundamentally a spirit of, you know, real willing engagement. One of the great things that we saw from a lot of agencies who were sort of manning their open government dialogues would be an instance where someone might submit a comment that was sort of off topic or not really relevant to what was being asked, and of course open government is a pretty nebulous topic, so that's not surprising. And what the moderator would do was, rather than to sort of move that off topic, they'd intervene in such a way to say, you know, that's an interesting idea. We think there's a nugget of something important in there. We'd like you to sharpen that and resubmit it. And so in that way, you have, you know, the government, this kind of big, scary box, just having this direct, authentic engagement with citizens. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, that multiple times across multiple venues, across multiple occasions, counts as a really big win in terms of, you know, building trust between citizens and government and leading the way to, you know, to real authentic engagement. It's, I think one of the challenges that government has...
We got about 15 seconds, Dan, left. But anyway,
okay, well then,
you know, people can comment on the blog posting and put down any other web links that they think are relevant. And this is Stephen Buckley with Open Government Radio. And thank you, gentlemen, Dan Munns from GSA, Steve Kineska from University of Colorado. And we'll talk about this some more in the coming weeks. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Are you guys still online?
Yep, but we're signing off now. So I'll talk to you later.